Okay, so for those of you who don't know me, my name is Meir Simcha Stromer. Again, we were just saying, been in Chicago for a little over a year, finished my first year in the Kollel, and really loving Chicago. It's a great place. The topic for today is appreciating our growth while yearning for more. Something that I think off the bat is an interesting or intriguing topic, but I think it's very practical, and especially for me, it's something I've been thinking about a lot over the past year, you know? Having a new job, being in the Kollel, more responsibilities, doing more and more and more, but at the same time trying to appreciate everything that we're doing while running around. So I was thinking, when I was even getting dressed today, what color tie I should wear. So I asked my wife, and she said, wear a blue tie. So I think it's because she thinks blue looks nice in my eyes, whatever it is, but I really think the answer was because we got sunburnt yesterday. Yesterday we went out, we went to Indiana to Johnson's Farms. Johnson's Farms is a place you can do blueberry picking, all sorts of vegetables. There's a lot of fun, zucchini, cabbage, kale. I didn't know how it grows, but, you know, they're hot peppers and jalapeno peppers. It was a lot of fun, but we got really, really burnt. And I'm thinking while we're there, you know, baking in the sun, I said, it's amazing, because if you think about it, like, what's going on at Oratoro right now? There are tens of women spending their Sunday and now Monday coming to Shiur. It's an incredible thing. You know, if you think, if you have plans generally on a Sunday afternoon or a Monday, and you tell your friends, oh, I can't make it. You know, I'm busy this weekend, so what do they think, in the summer especially? You went to the Dells, Lake Geneva, whatever it is, but you took a vacation for a few days. But instead, what does everyone here do? We came to show, we came to learn, we came to grow, and make ourselves better people, better Jews. And it's an amazing thing to really take advantage of our time. And time is really the one thing, no matter how wealthy you are, you can't buy more time. You can't get more time in this world. And something the Chafetz Chaim was very, very fond of. The Chafetz Chaim, in all his Sfarim, at least the ones I've come across, all over the place, sprinkled in are mashalim or parables, different ideas about taking advantage of our time in this world. He gives the parable of, let's say, we're paid farmers and we get paid by the crop that we bring in, that we harvest. So he says the silly guy is going to sit till the end of the day. In the last hour of the workday, you know, try to get as many peppers as he possibly can, and then, okay, he'll get paid for that. But the smart guy is going to what? The second he walks in, start collecting. He's going to take advantage of every single second. And the Chafetz Chaim was huge. He was all about this, taking advantage of the time. And the Rosh Yeshiva in Radin by the Chafetz Chaim was Rav Naftali Trapp. And Rav Naftali Trapp, when he was younger, as a Rosh Yeshiva, got very, very sick. So the Talmidei HaYeshiva, the students of the Yeshiva, got together, and they said, we're going to give some of our years to Rav Naftali Trapp. Now, I don't exactly know how that works, but they decided they were going to say, I'm going to give you a week or two. And another student said, I'll give you a month, and I'll give you this. So they sent one guy into the Chafetz Chaim. You know, ask the Chafetz Chaim, how much is he going to give? It's a pretty daunting task for, you know, a regular yeshiva guy, 18, 19-year-old kid, to be like, hey, Rebbe, give some time. But he goes and he knocks on the door and he says, Rebbe, you know, as we all know, Rav Naftali is very, very sick, and he can use some extra time. Can you donate, so to speak, a little bit of your time? Some of the Bochum have given a week, two, maybe a month. Can you give anything? She says, let me think about it. Calls him in a couple minutes later, and he says, I made a decision. He says, yeah. He says, I'll give him 1 minute. 1 minute? Rebbe, like, Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Naftali Trapp, like, you're only going to give him a minute? Some versions of the story say 5 minutes, whatever it is, we'll say a minute. And he said, if you knew the value of a minute, you wouldn't want to give more than one. He said, we have to take advantage of our time. We're only here for a limited amount of time. We have to do as much as we possibly can. So I was thinking a lot about this while we were blueberry picking in the fields of Indiana. And I was thinking that this is something that we all try to do in life, try to take advantage of our time, try to do as much as we possibly can. But often when we do that, it stresses us out. You know, running from a carpool to a bas mitzvah to a wedding to all over the place. Do we have time to just like sit down on a couch and have a cup of coffee on Sunday afternoon? If we do, we're very lucky. But often we're running from place to place to place to place. And it gets very, very burdensome. And even in the realm of Judaism, when it comes to Torah and mitzvos. So we know we have 613 mitzvos, and that's only midoraisa, right? That's only according to the Torah. Then we have the rabbinically instituted mitzvos. There are really lots and hundreds of mitzvos that we can potentially do. So when you think about that, and we think of trying to be the best Jews as we possibly can, it's a little intimidating. How many can we really do? How much time do we possibly have? But then we say, no. You know what? I'm gonna do it. I can do as many as I possibly can. And then we start trying to do it. But again, that gets very burdensome. It's very, very hard. We're thinking, okay, we help out a chesed committee, and then we help bake a meal, let's say, or cook a meal for someone who's sitting shiva, or maybe someone who just gave birth, whatever it is. And we're doing this, and running to the next community, to the next shul event, to the next community event, to the next dinner. It's like, chill out. We need some time. You know, I always told my friends, if I ever opened up I want to be a 9th or 10th grade Rebbe or a middle school Rebbe. Since about 10th grade, that's what I wanted to do. And I always said, if I was going to open up a school, I'd call it Derecheha Darchei Noam, the pleasant path. Just to show people that Judaism isn't a burden, it's not a heavy thing, it's not hard, it's a beautiful thing. But often when we're so busy trying to do everything that we need to do during the day and everything we want to do during the day, it gets very, very difficult. So this is something, again, this past year especially, I've been thinking about a lot. And I came across something a few weeks ago. The truth is I came across it 3 years ago during a winter break from YU. I was with my friends in Teaneck learning together, and someone gave us a shiur, and he quoted a piece from Rav Kook. And I came across it 2 weeks ago, Parshas Balak. Because what does it say in Parshas Balak? We're going to do something a little bit unorthodox here. We're going to skip page number one. We'll go to page number two. It says page number two. And this is a photocopy from Rav Kook's Perish on the Siddur. Olas Ra'ayah. I'm definitely not fluent in the language of Rav Kook. His Hebrew is very, very poetic, very, very beautiful. I tried going through it a couple times my own, and there were a couple things I still couldn't figure out, so I called a Rebbe of mine in Israel, and he went through it with me. So I'm very appreciative, but I came across this idea, again, 3 years ago, and I thought of it when I was going through the Parshas Balak, and I said, oh my gosh, there's this beautiful Rav Kook, I have to find it. And ever since I found it, I probably told it over 15 times to different people. Anytime anyone asks me for a Dvar Torah on the Parsha, it's not even Balak anymore, you gotta hear this one, you know? So Rav Kook says something beautiful. He explains the pasuk of Matovu Ohalecha Yaakov, Mishkenosecha Yisrael. How good are the tents of Yaakov, of Jacob, and Mishkenosecha Yisrael? The Mishkan, let's say the structures, the buildings, let's call them, of Yisrael. Now, it's a little bit of an interesting phrase. How good are the tents and the buildings? Now, we have two different structures. We have an Ohel, and we have a Mishkan. The Mishkan, we're familiar with, the tabernacle in the Midbar, in the desert. And we know an Ohel is a tent. So what's the difference between these two things?
What are the two again?
The Ohel and the Mishkan. The Matovu Ohalecha Yaakov, Mishkan Osecha Yisrael. So Rav Kook says that these two things, that these two, let's call them pillars, or yesodos, these two important fundamental ideas, are critical to achieving shlemus in Judaism. They're critical in terms of finding, like, let's say, completeness. To completing ourselves and completing our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with Hashem, we have to have these two things in mind, the Ohel and the Mishkan. What do they represent? So he says the Ohel, the tent, represents, he calls it the Yesod Ha'aliyah, right? The pillar of growth, of wanting to do more. Because what's an Ohel? An Ohel is a temporary structure. If you're in the Midbar, if you're in a desert, whatever it is, you're in a forest, so you camp out for a night, maybe two or three even, and then what do you do the next night? You move to a different location, new campgrounds, whatever it is. You set up tent somewhere else, set up camp somewhere else. And you're always moving, you're always going somewhere. So the Ohel represents the Yesod Ha'aliyah, because when it comes to growth in Judaism, growth in life, so we never want to be stagnant. We always want to be moving. We have to go forward. I want to do better. I can always do more. I can learn more. I can do more, whatever it is. Says Rav Kook, there's another important thing. There's the Yesod HaMenucha. Menucha means rest. So the pillar of resting. Now what's that represented by? He says that's the Mishkan. Why, what's the Mishkan? Well, it's a more set, fixed structure. If that's the case, how is that important, or how does that help our growth? So says Rav Kook, as important as it is to want to do more and accomplish more and be more involved in all the different opportunities that present themselves within the community, we always need to go back and fall back on that Yesod HaMenucha, the pillar of rest. Now why is that? He says we have to appreciate what we've done. If we're constantly running to do more and more and more, running from one community meeting to another event, let's say, coming to a Monday morning class here at Or Torah, and then running to... We're always just going and going and going. We're never taking the time to appreciate what we've done. And that's what he says in the Yesod HaMenucha, the ability to appreciate what we've accomplished. Shlomo HaMelech says, now we can go back to source number one. The arrow is pointing to a pasuk in Mishlei, and Shlomo HaMelech tells us, Chazisa ish atz kedivarav, if you see a person who's very hasty, he's very rushed, tikva l'ksil mimenu. The fool has more hope than him. The guy's pretty smart. You know, just because he's rushing, the fool is going to have a better chance. So it says, the Sefer is called Hasharas Avreichim. It's written by the Eish Kodesh, Rav Klonimus Kalman Shapiro. He was the Piazetzner Rebbe. He was killed in the Holocaust. And he talks about this pasuk. What does it mean? Tikva l'ksil mimenu. The fool has a better chance or greater hopes than the hasty person, the person who's rushed. So he quotes the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. The Baal Shem Tov was the one who started the Hasidus movement. And the Baal Shem Tov, you know, had an interesting read on the pasuk we say in Shema. We say, V'avadetem mehira. So we think that means, well, you'll quickly lose. But the Baal Shem Tov says, on the third line, Shitzarich ha'odom la'abed es ha-mehirus. Ad kan l'shono ha-kadosh. That a person needs to lose his mehirus, to lose his hastiness. Don't rush. Stop rushing. That's the way that we can excel and grow in our own Jewish lives. To not be always running. We need to go back and appreciate what we've done. I was thinking an interesting example of this would often be, I think, the Shabbos table, or maybe the Chag. And on Yom Tov, dinner or lunch with our families. I remember as a kid growing up, you know, when my mom would be sitting at her end of the table, and Friday night at some point during the meal, maybe it was after the soup or right after the main was served, she said, I'm just going to go put my head down on the couch for 5 minutes. And then when I get back, we'll bench. And then, you know, I have three older sisters and a younger brother, and we would all be like, Ima, no, like, we're never going to bench. You say it's 5 minutes, and it's 5 hours. Like, you're gonna fall asleep. No, we need to, let's just bench now and then go take your nap. I didn't appreciate that. She needed to put her head down. And I went to MTA for high school. It's YU's high school. And we didn't have school on Fridays. And my mom happened to have gotten a new job. And so she would ask me to make Shabbos sometimes. So I would cook for Shabbos. And then, what happened Friday night now? It wasn't me running off to my friend's house Friday night. It'd be me running to the couch. Exactly. Because then I started to get it. I understood. My mom was on her feet all Friday. I'm sure many of us have experienced that feeling of just cooking Friday or whatever it is, or an Erev Yom Tov, and we're just so exhausted. We need to sit down for a second. But maybe the sitting down isn't necessarily a sitting down out of tiredness. This is what I was thinking. I think maybe we can sit down to appreciate what we've done. To appreciate that, wow, we've just cooked the whole meal. Baruch Hashem, we can afford to have everyone come over. We can have guests. We can have the whole family come over. And we're sitting together and we're having a yontif. To appreciate that and to appreciate what we've done. Whether it's starting a home with one, I mean, just a husband and wife together, to appreciate what they've done and how far they've come. Or whether it's a family. Or whether it's an older couple who many of their kids have moved out of the house. But to sort of just see how far they've come. If the kids aren't there, wow, you know, Baruch Hashem. Our children have grown up and we've raised them so nicely. To appreciate what we've done. And I think that is why Rav Kook says there are two important pillars. It's not just the Yesod Ha'ali of wanting to do more. Because we can always be running and running and running. And that's why I think I wanted to talk about this. I'll get that back in a second. But Rav Kook says we have two pillars. We have the pillar of Aliyah, of growth and wanting to do more. And we have the pillar of Menucha. Why are those things incredibly important, both of them? Rav Kook says if you don't have the Yesod HaMenucha, if we don't have that pillar of just appreciation, then we're going to burn out. We're not going to be able to be Ola and Ola and Ola and to keep going up and wanting to do more. Because at a certain point, it's just going to be so burdensome. We're going to say, yeah, you know, I can't do it anymore. There's so many mitzvos. Can I really do all them? I've tried and I'm so worn out. Just forget it. Says Rav Kook, we need time to just relax and to sit back for a second and say, yeah, like, I've really done a lot. I'm pretty good. Thank God. Of course, there's always more to do. But, you know, I'm in a pretty good place right now. So I was thinking, you know, over a two-day Yarche Kala, when we're going to classes and classes and classes, and we're learning more, whether it's Tanakh, whether it's Halacha, whether it's personal growth. So we're learning more and more and more. So maybe we should, you know, I'm not going to say we're going to stop now, 25 minutes early, and say, like, let's just review everything we've done and say how it's amazing. But I think it's incredibly important for us, maybe to take a second today, maybe more than a second, maybe 10 minutes, whatever it is, to say, like, wow, like, I've really learned a lot over the past couple days. And it's an incredible thing. An incredible thing. So I was reading this biography over here of Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, and I came across something awesome. Once I saw it, I have lots of sticky notes on the side, I put a sticky right next to it, and I said, I have to save this for a shir. He's talking about summer vacation. Summer vacation. If a big Rosh Shiva gets up talking about, you know, summer vacation, you get pretty worried. But he was one of the leaders or pioneers, let's call it, of yeshiva camps and having camps in the Catskill Mountains. He was a Rosh Yeshiva in Torah Vidas, and he realized that, you know, after a long zman in yeshiva, after a long time, after Shavuos, towards the summer, guys are getting pretty worn out. And he says, you know what? We need vacation. And he says something amazing here. Page 177 in the Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky Art Scroll Biography. He says like this. Rav Yaakov had long maintained that Bein HaZmanim, which is the summer vacation, was a period with great potential for growth if properly utilized. And that's why, he encouraged those to create this camp or shraga that the yeshiva can go to in the summer, play ball, learn a little bit in a more relaxed environment. But he said, we have to go to camp. This is amazing. He says, the first rule of summer vacation Rav Yaakov felt was to recognize that it was not simply an extension of the previous zman of the yeshiva. Summer camp isn't, even though they went as yeshiva to camp. He says, this isn't yeshiva anymore, guys. Don't think you're going to maintain the same schedule you did in yeshiva. You're going to stay up till 1, 2 o'clock in the morning every single night of the summer. He says, if people were to do that, what would happen? They would end up burning out come September, October, November, whatever it is. At some point earlier on in the year, or maybe even later on in the year, they just wouldn't be able to do it anymore. They would break down. They would burn out. They can't. He says, we need breaks. And he has a beautiful parable. He's a beautiful mashal. Rav Yaakov illustrated this point with a mashal drawn from a Sefer Torah. If any of the openings which divide the text of the Sefer Torah are absent, the scroll is puzzel. When it comes to the Torah scroll, we don't have one here, we have a foosball table. But, I was hoping there'd be an Aron Kodesh behind me. But if you open up a Torah, sometimes you see in a Siddur by Oz Yashir, there's certain breaks in the Parsha, in the paragraph itself. And those breaks in certain Parshios in the Torah, and the different Shiros we have in the Torah, are important, and not just important, but they're as important as the words. So much so, says Rav Yaakov, again, if one of these divides or partitions were missing, the scroll is puzzle. Just as the visions in the Sefer Torah are necessary, so are the breaks in the learning year. And he says if the breaks are important, think about that. We know if a letter is missing in the Sefer Torah, it's puzzle, right? Says Rav Yaakov, if one of those breaks are missing also, the Torah could be puzzle. What does that mean? That the breaks are just as important as the words themselves. Says Rav Yaakov that summer vacation, or a weekend vacation, whatever it is, a winter vacation, is just as important as the Zman itself, just as important as the time in school or whatever it is itself. An unbelievable thing, the importance of just relaxing for a little bit. And again, it wasn't just like a veg on the couch, eat potato chips, and watch a bunch of movies. It may have been, but I don't think it was. I think it was a time to sort of, assess what we've done. To realize, like, wow, I've really, really grown. And it's an amazing thing. My friend told me that he was sure we were in yeshiva. He was in Shalavim. And he said he was like struggling over the course of the year because he wasn't able to see how much he had grown. Why not? So he said, well, if you spend the whole year with the same guys and everyone's more or less going up on the same incline, we're all growing at a more or less equal rate. So we can't really see our own growth because we're with the same guys. So he said, what did he do for the summer? He said it was the best thing that ever happened to him. He went to a camp where there were no Shalavim guys. He went to a camp and he was learning with guys from all other yeshivas, great yeshivas. But he had said they were a lot of his high school friends, and he was able to see how much he had actually grown over the course of the year because he was with different guys. He was able to take that month or 5-6 weeks, whatever it was, and he was able to see how much he had actually grown. And he said that was huge for his Avodas Hashem. He was really able to see how much he had grown. Now we come across this idea also in Tehillim. How does it come up in Tehillim? So we say at the beginning of Parakuf Yotes, Ashrei Tzmimei Derech, Hachochim B'Toras Hashem. Not on the Mar Makom Moshitz here. But he says, Ashrei Tzmimei Derech, right? What does that mean? Praise you are those who are complete on their path, let's say. And the Ibn Ezra, Mitzudas David explained that that means they are complete on their mission of Hochim B'Toras Hashem, going in the way of God. That every single thing they did was viewed in the lens of Avodas Hashem. What can I be doing to get closer to God? So that's tremendous. Right? Halavai, we can all be at that level. But I was thinking that could be a little bit burdensome also. That every single thing you do is Hashem, 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 Hashem. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. That's a great thing. But again, it could be a little bit intense to always be doing that. Every single thing we're doing, how do we balance that? So we have another pasuk of Ashrei. What's the one we're probably most familiar with? Ashrei Yoshevei Veisecha. Right? What's that? What's the balance? Od Yaluchasel, exactly. Ashrei Yoshevei Secha, Perek, Pei Dalet in Tehillim. Also not on the sheets. But Ashrei Yoshevei Veisecha is praise you are those who sit in my house, or in your house, and what? and continue to praise. Od Yehallelu Chasela. So I was looking around, and I was looking at Rav Hirsch. He has a parish on Tehillim. And I saw something that he said, and I had a different idea, but it's definitely, it was inspired by Rav Hirsch. So he says, why is it, he points out that it's Yoshve Beisecha and not Yoshvim Beisecha. Why is it Yoshve Beisecha? So I was thinking, what does Yoshvim mean? Yoshvim means sitting, right? They are sitting. Yoshvim means to sit. Yoshve Beisecha, I think, is more descriptive. It's telling you who these people are. They are Yoshve Beisecha. And I was thinking, what does it mean to be Yoshev, just to sit for a second? Ve'od Yehalu Chasel, while continuously praising. So I think it's an amazing thing. That these people, no matter what they're doing, they're described as Yoshve Beisecha. They're able to what? To take a step back and just sit down for a minute. And just realize, wow, how much have I accomplished? How close I am to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? How much have I grown over the past 6 months, year, 5 years, whatever it is? And with that Yoshve Beisecha, what can they then do? Od Yehalu Chasela. It's through the sitting down. It's through the Yoshve that they're able to now go ahead and continue and grow even more and more and more. And that's the idea. Again, that's what Rukuk was hinting at the beginning. The Yisod HaAliyah, the growth, wanting to do more, and at the same time, the Yisod HaMenucha, of just taking a second or a moment to appreciate what we've done.
Wait, I'm sorry. How does the Yoshve indicate more of the breaks that aren't?
Because I thought Yoshvim is more telling you they are sitting.
Okay.
Yoshve is more descriptive. It's describing who the person is, not necessarily what he's doing.
Okay.
I thought. Again, it could be not true at all. I think the idea is a nice idea. I don't know if it fits 100% of the words, but I think it's something that we can definitely learn from. But we see this notion of resting in other places, though. It's a mitzvah on Shabbos. You know, some people's favorite mitzvah is taking their afternoon nap on Shabbos afternoon. It's Oneg Shabbos. It's Menucha. It's the best thing ever. Right? And we're so...
There's something that I thought of.
Yeah, please. If anyone, I was just saying at the beginning, I'd much rather sit around a table because I feel like it's more conducive to...
I was just remembering that, not this past Shabbos, but the Shabbos before, a bunch of us were walking somewhere, you know, for like a big Shabbos dinner, it was like a Shabbat Brachot dinner, whatever. Anyway, so a bunch of us were walking and I noticed that like they were all just talking about themselves and I was walking on my own and I like noticed the beautiful sunset and I'm like, oh wow, you know, like Baruch HaMasecha, you know? And it's like, I was like wondering like how many of these people, even on Shabbos when they're able to stop and, you know,
right,
are able just to like take, you know, just like stop and notice and like, you know, just like praise Hashem for whatever there is.
Right. We're gonna get back that I have down here, practical applications, so we'll get there soon. But
no, it's just
awesome.
Like even when you're like so busy, like when you stop on Shabbos, you're still like so used to like being in a certain mindset that like it takes time to stop and just like notice.
Right.
Our heads are always either in the future or the past.
Right.
We're very seldom
in the present.
In the present.
Right. I hear. Yeah. So I was thinking when it comes to Shabbos, right? So we know, why do we rest on Shabbos? So Hashem rested, right? The Pesukim tell us that that Hashem completed on the seventh day all his work. And we know 6 days creation wasn't complete until Shabbos came. Hashem rested and then creation was complete. So what did he do though? Right? That Hashem completed his work on the seventh day. What did he complete it with? With rest. That doesn't make any sense. If they haven't put the roof on the building yet, so what do? They're going to rest like, all right, house is ready. No, they have to put the roof on. It must have been that the roof was on, let's say, Lamashal, the world was created, and then Hashem did what? He rested, and then the world was complete. So I was thinking maybe that's the idea as well. What did Hashem need? Hashem just created the world. That's a pretty, you know, unbelievable thing. And how, as incredible as it is, even Hashem needs a moment to just say like, wow, like I just created the world. I put man into the world. I gave them a field or a venue to serve me. Even Hashem needs to appreciate that. And I think we, again, as halach b'derachah, trying to follow in Hashem's ways, we need to do that as well. Do as much as we possibly can while taking a moment to appreciate what we've done. There's an idea in the Gemara called a Yerida Letzorich Aliyah. So this comes up in the Gemara in the Mishnayos in Makos. It talks about guys who are in the field chopping wood. And, you know, an accident happens in the field, in the woods. That a guy is swinging with the axe, and somehow the axe head flies off and hits someone. So the Gemara discusses, well, it depends how he was swinging. Was it an aliyah, a litzorech yerida? Or was it a yerida, was he going down, litzorech aliyah, to go up? Okay, so the Gemara, what's the difference between the two? So the Gemara discusses, well, in certain cases, the guy would be chayiv. You know, he would be obligated to pay for damages. And in other cases, he'd be exempt, he'd be off the hook. But a lot of the Sfarim, the Musar Sfarim specifically, talk about a yerida letzarech aliyah. Sometimes we need to take a step back to go too forward. Sometimes something bad happens in life. And as bad as it is, maybe later on, we realize, doesn't matter how later, it could be a day, it could be a year even, it could be 10 years for some people, but to realize, like, you know, Hashem really had my back there, and it was for the good. It was for the good. I may not have realized it at the moment. Some people are very good at, even at the moment, thinking, okay, maybe this was for the good. Something for me, usually it takes much longer than that. But to look back, you know, that was a yerida letzarech aliyah. So the Baal Shem Tov, again, who we quoted earlier, he was the one who had said, v'avadatem mehira, to lose the hastiness, he has this idea as well. That when it comes to avodas Hashem, when it comes to life as a Jew, so sometimes we need a yerida letzarech aliyah, but sometimes we need a nothing letzarech aliyah. Sometimes we need to just take that day, or we can take that walk by ourselves, and sort of just like, you know, take it all in. Just, you know, relax. Let it all roll off our shoulders. Forget about everything for like a minute. And then we can continue going. We need that break. And this, again, you know, if we can go back to not just Ashrei, but Pesukei Dezimra in general, we say in Pesukei Dezimra, from Tehillim, Rabos Ma'achashavos B'lev Ish V'atzas Hashem Hi Sakum. Right? So man has many, many thoughts. He has many, many different ideas. But at the end of the day, Atzas Hashem Hi Sakum. So what does that mean? What does it mean that the Eitzah, the advice of Hashem, is going to endure? So the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us that an Eitzah that comes from Hashem, meaning if it's a halachically or a Torah, let's say, idea, and that's where you're getting your inspiration from, so that has the potential to last. If you're listening to Hashem's rules and Torah and halacha, so that'll be okay. That'll endure. So my Rebbe quoted to me an idea from the Dayan, the Av Beis Din, let's call him, of Satmar. I think it was in Borough Park. He said he was at a wedding, and this guy was there. So my Rebbe, when he was a bacher in yeshiva in YU, so he's standing with a couple friends at the wedding, you know, I don't know, whatever it was, after the chuppah, after the shmorg, I don't know. But they're standing on the side, and this dayan comes over to them and says, you guys know the Yetzer Hara? I mean, like, yeah, I guess, you know. Sure. He says, I think I figured him out. You know, someone says to you, they figured out the Yetzer Hara, you know, you gotta listen. What do you mean you figured out the Yetzer Hara? He's like, I know how he tries to get us. And they say, yeah. Can you tell us your secret? You know, you sell it for millions of dollars. So he says, what's the pasuk say? Rabos machshavos b'lev ish v'atzas Hashem hi sakum. Right? Like a good chassid sherebo, he put the comma in the right place. Atzas Hashem hi sakum. The eitzah of Hashem, the eitzah to grow is what? Sakum. Just to stand still for a moment. Again, if you're walking home on a Friday night, you're going to your Friday night meal, and there's a beautiful sunset, like we just said. So often we're just, we want to get to the chicken soup. If it's during the day, we want to get to the challah, you know? But sometimes we just need to stop for a second and just to appreciate, whether it's a sunset, whether it's what we've done in our own lives, our families, whatever it is, but to realize how much we've done. Now, with all that comes a large caveat. We can't forget about the Yesod HaAliyah. We can't forget about wanting to do more and more and more. We can't ever think that, oh, we're complete and we have totally done everything we possibly could in Avodas Hashem. There is room for piling on more and more, and the notion of zrizus and alacrity and just running to do more. This is even found in the Beis HaMikdash, right? The way they decided which Kohen was able to do the Trumas Adeshen, right, which was cleaning the stuff that was left over from the night before. So what was it? We have a Kohen here, or a Kohen here. But what did they do? Believe it or not, there was a race. In the basement, we don't really think about that. You know, a bunch of, I don't know, in all the picture books of kids, like all these Kohanim, everyone has beards and like shrimals, but I don't know if they all had that in the Beis HaMikdash, but we assume Kohanim and Levim were pretty pious individuals, right? And what are these chevra doing? So the guy opens up the doors, okay, chevra, let's go, come on in, we're starting the day. And all of a sudden, it's like Walmart on Black Friday, right? Everyone runs in. Everyone wants to go get the Trumas Adeshen. There's place for alacrity and zrizus and doing more and wanting to do more and being excited about Avodas Hashem. And we can't forget about that idea. It's incredibly important. The balancing act between wanting to do more while also appreciating what we've done. And I think I found this in a sefer. If we look at page number 4, he has this idea beautifully. The sefer is called Olam HaMidos. It's written by Rabbi Dan Kestenbaum. He's, I think, a 10th or 11th grade Rebbe in the yeshiva in Waterbury, in a high school in Waterbury, in Connecticut. And I would say it's one of probably three most impactful or influential Sfarim in my entire life. I went through it. I bought it for my father. And then I bought it for my brother. And I bought it for my wife. I said, well, everyone has to learn this Sefer. It's huge. I was thinking actually last week, I was going to tell Rabbi Brand at the beginning of the year that I wanted to maybe have like a once a week shiur. Because it's a Sefer everyone has to learn. I've never learned a more practical Sefer. And he talks about simcha, and he talks about, you know, pictures at weddings. How many Sfarim have you ever, you know, seen talk about everyone getting stressed out, you know, when we're trying to take pictures at weddings and, like, running for, like, you know, like, your great aunt three times removed, and, like, she has to be in the picture, and, like, no one's ordering that picture. We all know that. But what? We have to get her. So he says, if you get so stressed out while you're taking the pictures, what's going to happen? So you're going to get your pictures from your wedding, and you're going to look at the pictures, and what are you going to remember? How stressed out you were. Right? He gives like unbelievably practical examples. It's the best Sefer. If everyone wants, you can go over to everybody and tell them we have to learn the Sefer. Either way, so he's talking here. He just goes through different midos. So at one point he's talking about recognizing one's growth. And that's what he really says on the page before this, page Samach Gimel. I photocopied page Samach Dalet. He says, Mitzad Sheni, where it's bracketed off, Alinu Lahakir Hachatoim Vehechasrono Shalanu. Sounds like an intense lashon, but he says we have to recognize, I don't want to call them our sins and failures, but I'll call them the areas with where we need to improve. Let's call it like that. Okay? Areas that we need to improve. V'zeh mafriya l'simchasinu. We may have grown, we may have done a lot, but what's going to happen when we think about what we haven't done or things we've messed up or things that we need to improve? So that's going to take away, it's going to detract from our simcha. V'zeh shavoy mishkel kasha l'kol ben Torah. For every Jew, it's a very difficult balance. Ha'simcha mitzad ech b'masha asa. Right, the simcha, the joy that we feel from which we've done, and the pain, let's say, or the anguish from what we haven't done yet, the more we have to do. How are we supposed to balance this? How are we supposed to deal with this? The Gemara says, that with one hand we need to push away, and with the other hand we need to come close. V'hainu, what's that mean? On the fifth line in that first bracketed off paragraph. K'mosh amru chazal shemi sheba lahadrich ulechanech achirim. Someone who's coming to teach other people. Let's say a teacher, a parent, a rebbe. Tzarek lechazik b'yamin. So they need to give chizik, they need to encourage and support their students or their children on one hand. And on the other hand, what do they need to do? Sometimes, lo chiyach b'smol, they need a rebuke, maybe. Give the kid a patch, whatever it is. I don't know if we do that bismanazeh, but, you know, when I was growing up, I got my fair share. So you have to encourage, but you also have to, you know, sometimes say, listen, you could be doing better. So too, when it comes to ourselves, we have to do this as well. You know, I was talking to my friend about it. He pointed out to me once that, you know, if we're ever struggling, we should envision someone else asking us what to do. Because often we're so hard on ourselves, but then a friend calls us up and says, hey, I'm struggling with this area. What can you help me out? And we're so quick to like, you should do this, or you're great, don't worry, keep it up. But when it comes to ourselves, you know, if my friend ever came to me and said, you know, I woke up late for minyan. So what do I tell him? Don't worry about it. There's an 8 o'clock minyan, there's a 9 o'clock minyan. It's one day, you're on vacation, like, relax, don't worry. You know, what's the first thing I say to myself when I over, you know, when I snooze it a couple times, I wake up at like 8:15. You're such an idiot. You know, why do I say that to myself? But no, I would never say that to my friend, right? So as much as we do this to others, he's saying that we have to be madrich, we have to encourage and support on one hand. We have to be mochiach, we have to reprimand sometimes others. So the same thing is true for ourselves. We have to have this balance. And he says this balance is incredibly hard. So he gives a mashal, he has a parable in the second paragraph. We have to always be looking at ourselves in a more positive light. He says, ulamashal, shnei anashim mistaklan bitmuna yafa mo. There's a beautiful picture that we're both looking at. But there are a couple creases. So hatipesh mitrakis rak behasritos. Shiba emesima friim yofi atmuna. So let's call him the fool, is going to focus what? He's going to solely focus on the creases. You know, imagine like someone, I don't know, you got the Mona Lisa in your house somehow. But as you were stealing it, I guess, you know, there are a couple creases came about. So you're showing it off to your friends, and you know, someone's going to come in and be like, come on, bottom left corner? It's like, it's a little bent. Are you for real? Like, that's what you're going to say? So he says, that's what the silly person is going to focus on. Those small creases. The chacham, the wise person, is going to focus or going to recognize how beautiful the picture actually is. But he's going to say, it's not like he's going to ignore the creases or the folds, he's going to say, yeah, the picture would look a lot nicer if it was totally smoothed out. But at the end of the day, it is a beautiful picture. So too by us, we have to recognize the Torah and the good deeds of the Maisim Tovim that we actually have. Don't focus on, okay, I missed the minyan, or, you know, I didn't cook for someone who was sitting shiva, or I forgot to say mazel tov to a friend. Or think about everything we have done, and how much we have done so far, and how much we're going to continue, Bezras Hashem, to do. Okay, we miss a few here or there, it's not the end of the day. We have to focus on the positive. Even though we have many things we do need to work on, we need to focus on the things that we have done. And it's through that Yisod HaMenucha that Rav Kook pointed out, it's through the appreciating what we've done, that's going to propel us forward and enable us to achieve greater heights. So I was thinking that while this is all a nice idea, how do we do this practically? Right? We always have to be lamaisa, we have to be practical. What are we going to walk away with? So one thing I had written down here is number two, but we'll mention it first because we mentioned it a second ago. We mentioned the walk home on a Friday night, let's say, where there's a beautiful sunset. So how, you know, do we ever stop for a second and say, like, wow, that's really beautiful, you know? And it's not to take a picture of it and put it on, you know, Twitter, Facebook, whatever it is, say, like, look at the beautiful sunset. Just no phones, just say, wow, that's, like, really awesome. And then continue to walk, right? So Rav Volbi writes in his Sefer, the Alei Shor, he says that a ben yeshiva, and I think this is true for everybody in life, and for growth-oriented people, he says that every person needs to take a walk each day. And when he was the mashkiach in yeshiva in Israel, I forget the name of his yeshiva, but he said that you need to take walks. That every guy should take a walk at some point during the day, whether it's during lunch, whether it's before night seder, after night, whatever it is, at some point during the day, take a walk. You know, so if it was true then, it's for sure true now, because we just have so many more things going on. You know, to just put the phone down for 10 minutes, or put it on an airplane, whatever it is, and just go for a walk. And just think about the day. It's really like a game changer. It's unbelievable. We can realize, like, A, everything going on around us, and we can think about ourselves and realize what we've become and what we're doing. And I thought also to maybe, I don't know if this is a kind of corny, but I think it's beautiful. And I'm saying it out loud, so I'm going to try to do it this week also. So I wrote down here, number one suggestion would be the Shabbos table. We spoke a little bit about appreciating, taking time to appreciate what we've done at the Shabbos table. So maybe with our families, I don't know if we're not too embarrassed to do this, but maybe this Friday night or Shabbos afternoon, whatever it is at lunch, to say, like, okay, let's go around the table. And I know a lot of families sometimes say, like, they say thank you to, you know, the mommy or the abba, whatever it is. But maybe to just go around and say, like, something you did this week. So what did you do this week? Tell us one thing that you did that you're proud of. Right? And I don't think it's an arrogant, it's not a guy the dick kind of thing. It's, I did something this week, and it was a productive week. And even if, you know, the kid's on vacation and he slept for 6 days of the week, if he was up 7 days, 1 day a week, and he did something, so okay, great. You took advantage of your vacation. You recharged a little bit, but you were productive. You're not supposed to be as productive on vacation as you are during the rest of the year, then it wouldn't be vacation. But do something, you know? So every single week, to sort of take a second to reflect on what we've done and say, yeah, I have accomplished. And I think it's through that recognition and appreciation for what we've done that's going to help us continue to grow. And hopefully Hashem should give us the strength to both continuously grow, to appreciate, and through the appreciation, to grow even more. Okay, so I want to thank everyone so much for coming. I hope they have a fantastic rest of the program.